I'm Shannon Moore, and this is Formation. Today we'll be talking with someone whose call to ministry led her from working in a church to working in a hospital. Join us. Welcome to Formation. My name is Shannon Moore. We're coming to you from University Christian Church in Fort Worth, Texas, and this is our weekly conversation about spiritual formation. We talk to people from different walks of life about what it means to be a Christian in today's world. And so I'm so happy to have today one of my very good friends, Christy McDowell.
Hello, Shannon.
Hey, how long have we known each other now?
Since 2003.
That's when you moved
to Fort Worth. That's when I moved to Fort Worth, yeah.
And we briefly crossed each other in seminary, maybe about a year,
Maybe a year and a half, yeah, about.
Okay, the way that, I met Christy at a party, and then when she came, you started mid-year, right?
Yeah, I started in
January. Yeah, and I heard a knock at my door, and Christy was at my door. I don't know if you remember me, but I need help decorating my apartment. I was like, okay. So I went downstairs. You lived right under me, I think.
I did, yeah.
So,
and I had zero friends, and I wonder why. No, I'm
in the student housing, yeah. So much fun. So, that's been 20 years almost.
Yeah.
So, over 20 years, a little over. Anyway, I'm bad at math.
Yeah, it's okay.
But somewhere along those lines.
Yeah.
So, I'm so glad that we have ended up at the same church.
Yes, me too. You're
we were
amazing.
We were even roommates.
We were roommates for a while.
Just a very short period of time. And so it's long history. And you are somebody that makes me laugh like no other.
Thank you. So, you are the same.
Well, we always said that the secret to comedy was repetition.
And the kick.
And kicking. Yes. See? Funny.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about your growing up. Like what your faith formation was like as a child. Are you a lifelong disciple, I think?
Disciples I am of fourth generation disciple.
Wow, you know, I was Baptist, so first generation disciple.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We're glad you found us. So I grew up in the church, very active, because my mom was the pianist at our church. And my...
Such a serious woman.
So serious. She does have this serious look when she plays the piano, though. Anyway, so my grandma, because my mom always had to get there early, my grandma would take us.
And where was this?
Tucson, Arizona.
Okay.
Arizona. At Capilla del Sol Christian Church, where Terry Immel was the minister, and he was amazing. Very formative in my whole life growing up, as far as my faith was concerned. And he was progressive before the word progressive was a thing. So he was very intentional about his sermons and making sure we knew the truth of the gospel, which is that Jesus loved everyone. Mm. And so that was how I grew up. I didn't know any different. I knew lots of female ministers, including Deborah Morgan, who's in Dallas. She was my camp counselor.
Oh, okay.
And so when I eventually received my call to ministry, I didn't really think that much of it. It wasn't until I got to seminary and started really learning about the history of the church that I realized, you know, a woman in ministry is a big deal.
Really? You were in seminary before that kind of clicked?
Yeah. I mean, that says a lot about my little tunnel vision of my life, but also...
But it's also what a gift that...
What a gift my family gave me.
Yeah.
My mom just taught me growing up, like, you can be anything you want to be. And so I wanted to be a minister, so I didn't think the world isn't going to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up very active in the church, in youth ministry, on the youth council in Arizona, and then received a scholarship to go to Chapman University through the Disciples, and was an active disciple on campus. And that's where I met all my friends. Like, I didn't join a sorority or anything. Chapman's really small.
Okay.
It's, I don't know the numbers, but like half the size of
You're
TCU.
You're bad at math, too.
Yes, I'm horrible at math. So, yeah, it's small. It's like one city block, really. And okay.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah, it was super nice. You kind of knew every face on campus. You don't know everyone, but the Disciples on campus was my friend group.
Talk a little bit about your call to ministry. What was it like to receive that call?
Well, it's almost kind of like after discerning it, I look back and realize, okay, God kind of had to like pump the brakes and like stop me and say, this is for you, because I wasn't really listening as much as I think I could have been in the past. I always wanted to make the world a better place. I wanted to join the Peace Corps when I got out of college, but I never thought I wanted to be a minister. So when I received my call to ministry, I just received this peace about myself that only I think the Holy Spirit can give you. And I cried for like 3 days and just went to some discernment camps, and they were like, you know, it's going to be hard. It's not glamorous. You're not going to make any money. Do you still want to do it? And I was like, yes, obviously I'm here. Like, why would I not want to do that? And so I think what the world thinks would be like a ridiculous decision, because I had a great job, I had a great life. I left all of that to come to seminary and start over. And it was the
and
best thing I've ever done.
And have a stranger decorate your apartment.
And have a great stranger decorate my apartment.
So you're, if to understand correctly, in looking back on your life before that moment when you finally gave into it, you can recognize that there were signs from God. There were things pointing you in that direction that either you didn't recognize or didn't want to recognize, maybe. And so then when you finally did, it was, sounds like it was this great release of everything.
Yes.
It just allowed you to open up and fully live into that call.
Yeah. I had a good friend in seminary say, he was not in seminary, he was just a friend of a friend, but he was like, if you won the lottery, would you quit seminary and just become like something, I don't know what? And I was like, absolutely not. Like, this is my calling. Like, this is what I want to do. I'm exactly where I need to be.
That's a great discernment question.
Yeah. So this still, now as I get older, I may be like, well, I could buy Shannon and I a lake house.
Yeah, I'm liking this.
Maybe start a nonprofit. I don't know. But no, it's
we're too old for the Peace Corps.
I know.
So, well, that's really interesting. But we're going to take a really quick break, and we'll continue our conversation with Christy McDowell when we return. The members of University Christian Church have a message for you. You are valuable, worthy of love, and already part of what God is doing in the world. We invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship. Traditional worship in our sanctuary at 9 and 11, simple worship in the chapel at 9:30, or visit our 10:10 service in Walker Hall. We are a church of open-minded people who value curiosity and recognize we don't have all the answers. We strive to be open and honest about where we are on our faith journey. We practice compassion and generosity. All are welcome at University Christian Church, where you can experience Christ's courageous love for yourself and learn to carry that love with you wherever you go. Discover more about our programs and upcoming events at universitychristian.org, and stay connected by following us on social media. We are back talking to Christy McDowell. So we were talking about your call to ministry. You moved from, where were you living?
I was living in D.C.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I remember, were you working for National Geographic?
Okay. Yeah.
That is a good job.
Yeah, it was a great job.
And but you felt the call to ministry.
I felt the call to ministry.
Left that behind, moved to Fort Worth. Then what happened? Well, I do remember, besides having a really cool car. had that big...
I had a big Cadillac.
Powder blue Cadillac. Mm-hmm. What, do you remember what year it was?
Sedan DeVille. No, I don't remember the year. But it was like, if you were going to be a minister in the 80s, like, this is the car that you would drive.
It only needed cow horns on the front.
Yeah.
And you had that bumper sticker that said...
That said, Bound for Glory.
This Caddy's bound for glory.
Yeah.
So, aside from that, what kind of stands out to you that time in your life, and kind of where has it led you?
So, great questions. I finished seminary. I went through all of seminary thinking I was going to work in a church.
Mm-hmm.
And...
you did youth ministry during... Seminary?
I did Christian education at Costa View Christian Church in East Dallas. And I loved it, loved the church. They supported me through my ordination. They were very kind. And so I had met my now husband, and the women I knew in seminary who were graduating and were more progressive were getting these churches in small town Idaho or small town Wisconsin, and they were having a hard time because they were the most progressive person in the city, and they had left everything they knew. And you know, when you're beginning, you kind of start at smaller churches. That's just how it is. But because I had moved so much before seminary, I had not wanted to move. And so one of my best girlfriends, Mandy Wirtz, said, well, why don't you work at the hospital? And I said, let's do that. What do I do?
I could be a nurse.
I should be
a
nurse.
Or even a doctor.
Yes. Obviously, they wanted me as the neurosurgeon. So I trained for that. No, I'm just kidding. But I started out doing clinical pastoral education, my CPE, at Harris Euless Bedford Hospital.
Okay.
I did a year there, and then I moved to Harris downtown, where I spent 5 years.
Here in Fort Worth.
Yeah, here in Fort Worth, doing chaplaincy, because you need that CPE before you can go on and be a chaplain. So I worked in the hospital and absolutely loved it.
What is that work like as a hospital chaplain as compared to ministry in a church?
It's both and. It's very different, very fulfilling, but in very different ways.
I would assume you are with people of different faiths, much less denominations, but different faiths. Some people have no, you know, they don't claim a religion. Is that accurate?
Yes, yes. Lots of atheists around town, lots of agnostics, lots of people who have no faith. And as a chaplain, I usually see them at the hardest moments of their life, whether they're having like a critical incident or they're actively dying or a family member's actively dying. And what I've seen firsthand is that people with faith, they still get sad, they're still upset, but it's different somehow. The people without faith just immediately go to anger, which has always been very interesting to me. And it's never appropriate, but I want to pull them aside and be like, can we talk out your anger? And sometimes, you know, they'll talk to me, but... it is very diverse being a hospital chaplain.
For me, one of the things that is such a gift in ministry is walking alongside people through a period and sort of seeing them come out, maybe not on the other side, but growing in their faith through an experience or, you know, to see how God has worked in their lives after some tragedy or some thing. But as a hospital chaplain, it's sort of you're with them and then you have to let that release them into the universe.
Yep. Yeah.
Is that hard?
It is hard sometimes, but sometimes it's a gift because you couldn't constantly be doing that for every single person who has a tragedy every single moment of the day. I had a CPE supervisor explain it kind of like the parable of the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan found the man in the ditch, did everything he could in that moment, brought him to the inn or place, whatever you want to call it, and gave the woman his money and said, do what you need to do for this person. And then the Samaritan went about his business. He didn't stay there. He didn't cancel everything he was going to. He didn't. He created a healthy, appropriate boundary for what he could do, what he knew he could do. And so that's kind of what chaplaincy is like. Like, you are there in the moment, doing what you can, trying to be the presence of God for these people, talking to them about what's meaningful for them. Sometimes it's hope, sometimes it's grace, sometimes it's, you know, none of those things. And you're just, whatever's meaningful for them at that time, you're with them there where they're at. And that's kind of one of the gifts of it, is to meet them where they're at. And then they leave the hospital and, you know, I start the whole thing over again, but it's like that appropriate boundary. I have faith knowing the ministers out there are going to journey with them the rest of the way. So.
Oh, I love that. And there's no time. I was reading something this week. I think it was a quote from Maya Angelou, but something about how we can't say what our legacy is, that the people that we come in contact with, that is our legacy, and we don't even know. And it's just, I'm thinking of all the people that you've interacted with over the years, how just one thing or one look or one touch made such a difference in their life. And you'll never know, but that.
But I know for me too, though, it's such a blessing for me. But yeah, sorry to interrupt.
No, exactly right. So I think that's, thank you so much for sharing that. I could talk to you for a long time, but we're almost out of time. So.
Well, thank you for having me.
thank you so much.
For
Maybe you could come back sometime. And
I'd be glad to.
We could tell stories about the caddy.
Bound for glory.
And spending time at the library.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're good studiers.
Well, thank you so much. And we will be back next week with more conversations. Until then, I hope you have a great week. Take care.